Hey, I'm Father Roderick, and welcome to another episode of The Walk. And in this episode, I'm going to share with you the one phrase that helped me have one of the best weekends since the beginning of this new year. We're already approaching the end of March, but I just heard something that really changed my entire way of experiencing the weekend. So I'll share that with you in a minute. In the meanwhile, I am going to walk over this path here that I've created this weekend, or this Sunday actually, and that leads from the back of my house to the bike lane here. And I'm on the bike lane now, and there used to be a tree blocking that exit, as well as an offspring, like a part of a tree root that had sprung up and started to sprout. And we took down the tree the other day, and then yesterday I cleared the rest of the path. And it's only a small difference in distance compared to when I just leave through the front door, but it feels so different because here I'm walking through my garden. I arrive not at a road or on a parking lot like in front of the church, but I'm actually right here beside the graveyard, and there's a small path that leads straight to the woods, and it just feels different. I don't know, I'm super glad with that. And I can also now, because I cleared the exit, I can now also take my bike through that path, and it's going to be my little hobbit path. So I'm thinking about ways in which I can create something that looks a bit natural. Of course, I could use the standard tiles that you find everywhere. That would probably be the cheapest way to create a path, but also the one that looks the most, I don't know, boring. And I've always felt that when whatever is in my power, whatever I can do that is within my reach to create a bit of a hobbity atmosphere around my house, I'm going to do that, even if I have to invest a little bit more. So what I'm currently thinking of is creating a path. Let's here go over this small road next to the graveyard that I discovered last week. I want to create a path with natural stones that looks a bit like the path that leads to Bag End in the Shire. And then maybe even create a wooden fence or a small gate with a sign that says no entry except for party business. I'm always in for party business. So it's a nice little project, I think, for the weeks to come. And then I also want to start working on the backyard. I bought some flower seeds that I'm going to cultivate first in-house, and then when they're ready, I'm going to plant them in the backyard. And maybe I might even change the layout of the garden even more, because I would like to. Right now it's very rectangular. It's very easy to maintain, but it doesn't really feel like this garden here on my right. It's next to a very old farm. I'm not even sure if there are people living there anymore. It looks a bit in disarray. But that garden looks like a fairy tale garden. It's got big trees. There is grass, but it's not like in a straightforward rectangle. And there are wooden benches that you can sit on, and there's even a tree where they created a small bench around the tree so you can sit under the tree. I mean, how cool would that be to have my own party tree? Now, of course, I wouldn't be able to grow a party tree from nothing to, you know, one that I could use within the span of my lifetime, but I could at least create something that evokes the atmosphere of the Shire. And this is one of the things that I was able to focus on this weekend because of this one change of mindset when it comes to what I do on the weekend. So let me take you back to last week. Last week was a very busy week, and this is linked to the fact that, as you know, I'm working on so many exciting projects that I love, especially currently working on my new book. Yes, I'm writing another book, so that's going to be the book that I want to publish after Easter, and it's going to be covering the 50 days between Easter and Pentecost. Now, my first book, of course, in case you've missed this, was about Lent, and I follow the hobbits on their way to Mount Doom, trying to destroy the ring and rid Middle-earth of the evil power of Sauron. And that book has been so far quite a success. It has garnered a lot of attention, both internationally and also in my local media. So lots and lots of people have downloaded it. I haven't really been tracking the amount of downloads, but I do see a massive surge in the amount of people that signed up for my mailing list, so my diary entries. And that, of course, was part of a larger plan to have a venue to maintain a relationship with people that otherwise would might see a video every once in a while, or maybe come across a podcast episode or so, but wouldn't stick around. And what I've hoped to do with giving away this free book for Lent about the Hobbit was to invite people to enter into a more regular relationship with my content. And so far, I'm very pleased with the results. So, since this worked, I'm thinking I can go to the next level. So my next book is going to focus more on the theme of Pentecost, which, as you know, is all about getting the word out. It's about the apostles all of a sudden knowing how to speak the language of everyone who's there in Jerusalem. And what a great metaphor for the kind of work that I've been doing over these decades of being active on social media. It is connecting with people by learning to speak their language. And it's been a very effective method. And now it is time to put that on paper and to create a book about my method. And that's going to be the topic. Now, of course, I'm going to still come up with a creative way to tell people this method. And I'm still kind of thinking about, I have several ideas that I'm exploring, but that's just the form. So the content, that's what I've been focusing on last week. I will talk a bit more about the book and these various ideas in the premium part of the show for my patrons. So, patreon.com/FatherRoderick. So, first of all, wow, they removed the entire back of this house. These guys are standing on the rooftop, and this is probably, they do this a lot here in this area, where they won't be able to get a permit to build an entirely new house. Because there are lots of very strict regulations about that. However, it's much easier to get a permit, or maybe you don't even need one, if you just enhance the existing house. Now, that is interpreted sometimes, like here, in a very creative way, where they basically destroy most of the house. This house only had the front standing, and then they build an entire new house beyond it. And here on my left, so I'm now taking one road that leads me straight into the woods, but there is a parallel road here, and there is a house. They literally left one tiny 1 by 1 meter room, and they destroyed the entire rest of the house and build a completely different house around that tiny little room. But apparently that was enough for them to legally get away with it without having to go through the whole process of getting a license. It's a very creative way of dealing with rules. So anyway, since I was working on developing the contents of my method, how am I going to help people to do what I've been doing for 20 years, but then in their context, in the context of what they need and what they are looking for. So I've been sending out some feelers, some questions to friends. You know, you work in this part of the world, in this part of the church. What are the questions that people are dealing with when it comes to evangelization, to spreading the word, connecting with younger people, all that? And just asking people to help me figure out what people need has been so helpful in formulating my own thoughts, because now I know what to focus on. Of course, I can write a lot about what I do, but as a priest who works mainly full-time in the media, my situation is very different from most of my colleagues that work in the context of an existing parish that they have to somehow keep running. So, or could be a religious organization like a monastery with dwindling vocations, or a Catholic organization that is struggling to make ends meet. What are the connecting questions there, and how can I help? So now that I have a bit of an insight into what my potential readers might be interested in, I'm developing this method that is based on, you know, my 25 years of experience in this field. But because this is a very creative part of the process, it keeps me literally awake. I'm constantly thinking about, okay, so what's the best approach? How am I going to find examples? What is this method? And how can I best write it down? And so for not just last week, but for 2 or 3 weeks, a lot of this of this thought process was keeping me from relaxing and uncoupling to a certain extent, and at first I didn't even notice that I was doing this. So every morning, right after waking up, I would immediately sit down or try to find myself a piece of paper and just jot down the thoughts that I developed during my sleep. So even while I was supposed to rest, my brain was still bouncing around, and I would often wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, not even having met my minimum sleeping hours, but my brain was already fully switched on. I think I mentioned this before. And so the only way to get back to sleep was to just write down whatever was bouncing around in my head. And then I'd be calm enough to just go back to sleep, because I knew that my thoughts had been somehow preserved for moments that I would be able to work them out. Now, in addition to this, of course, I've been trying to create a website around. We're currently in this big process that I've been working on for, well, ever since I think we switched to Kajabi. When was that? Somewhere in January, I decided to move everything to Kajabi. And so I've been building this new website by hand, all by myself, for several months now. And it is approaching completion. The only last big step is to transfer the domain name, Father Roderick, to this new website. And then adding some sales pages to it, where I can actually put, you know, a course or something like that, or a webinar up for sale so people can register, or create waiting lists and all that. But the big effort was writing all these texts about who I am and where I come from, and about trying to target various demographics, various groups within my audience. And also, I had to create a number of these pages, both in Dutch and in English, sometimes rephrasing it in Dutch because I have a different audience there, a different following compared to my international following. Lots and lots of writing, lots of thinking, especially, you know, what can I leave out? What is no longer part of my mission? And how can I make sure that everything that I publish is working? And in the meantime, I was also doing a lot of research on marketing, on sales, on creating courses, all that. And so every day my brain would be abuzz with all sorts of ideas, and I loved it. The problem is I couldn't stop anymore, even when I was playing a video game, for instance, at like 9 o'clock in the evening. I would still think about this, and I had to really restrain myself from not talking about it with the people that I was in gaming with, you know, because it's work related and I'm not supposed to do this. And I received some feedback from my friends, like, hey, take it easy, you know, maybe you should step away from this work, you're overdoing it, and this is heading for a burnout if you're not careful. And I kind of, after a while, especially last week, started to feel that. Yes, I loved having so many ideas. It really creatively has been an amazing time. But I also started to feel the negative effects of this, namely that I was getting more and more tired. And the big warning signal was, I think it was Thursday or Wednesday last week, when all of a sudden I just shut down. I was so tired that I had to go to bed, slept for 2 hours, and usually this happened quite a bit last year. But ever since I was spending more hours in bed, I was trying to focus more on sleep quantity and quality. This hadn't happened before. And so this was, for me, was a sign, like, I'm all of a sudden, I'm dead tired in the middle of the day, so tired that I can't function anymore. I've been pushing myself over my own boundaries, my own limits, so let's tone it down. And so I wonder where I read this. I think it was probably in a TikTok. No, I think it was in a podcast. Anyway, I heard someone say, here is how, what you should do during your weekend. Now, I remember what it was. It was a TikTok. And it showed a garden, a backyard of someone who lives in a regular plain house somewhere in the suburbs of London, or I don't know what city it was, but definitely in the UK. And the video itself showed flower beds. Now, I've been doing some research on TikTok about how I can improve my own garden, so I wasn't surprised that the algorithm served me some garden maintenance tips and whatnot. So at first I thought this is going to be about how to create these beautiful flower beds that the video showed. But the voiceover was completely different. And the voiceover was kind of a meditation on what to do with your weekend. And it was such a light bulb moment. Here's what it said. Instead of using your weekend to escape the life you have, use your weekend to create the life you want to have. So let me repeat that. Use your weekend to create the life you want to have instead of trying to escape the life that you currently have. And it was illustrated with these flower beds to show, because I looked, of course, at the other videos of this account, and it was all basically about gardening. And it was about this creator who had deliberately focused on creating a beautiful garden, started with almost nothing, and every weekend he would spend time to improve his garden, to embellish his garden, and to build it into the garden that he had always dreamed of but never really focused on. Because every weekend, I'm kind of deducting this from that one more meditative video, he was busy just trying to escape from his dreary life and all the work obligations and maybe the stress and whatnot. And so instead of working in his garden, which was always in the back of his mind, like, I wish I had this beautiful backyard, he told himself, I don't have time, I don't have energy for this, I just need to relax, I deserve this. And I imagine that he would do what I do during weekends, and that is just play video games or just watch TV or mindlessly scrolling through TikTok. And so, but this one phrase was so on the mark for me. Because I felt like I've been, for a couple of weeks now, I've been working nonstop on rethinking basically everything I do in social media, on the website, on developing these courses. The coaching, of course, has started, so I'm putting a lot of energy into preparing these coaching sessions, and also to create I create summaries after each coaching session where I condense what we talked about and give recommendations and some homework, etc. So it's taking a lot of time because all this, of course, for me is new. And the rest of my life was only on my wish list. Every time I would step into my pantry, for instance. So I've got the kitchen, and next to that is a smaller space that my previous owners only used for the fridge and for their bikes. They had their e-bikes there. They didn't want to put them outside. And it's still a very, it's the ugliest room of my house because I always imagined, well, one day I'm going to create a real pantry. I didn't have the budget for that when we were renovating the house, nor did I know exactly what to do with that space. I had a very bad door. It was always cold in that room because it was not insulated. And so I put that on my, well, you know, I'll make a plan for this room later on. So every time I stepped into the pantry, I'm like, man, I want this to be the space where I can create stuff. So at one point I moved a adjustable desk to the pantry, thinking I might actually use this as my Lego room. And if I'm done with a Lego project, I can use the same table for, I don't know, painting or building stuff or what, anything that is more related to working with my hands. The computers, they're all upstairs. The podcasting set is upstairs. The videos, I'm all creating that upstairs. But this pantry, oh my gosh, I wish I had time for this. And every week, I would think of ways in which I could improve that room. But in the end, always told myself, like, I don't have time for this. I don't have the energy. And then at one point, I used the room. I barely have any storage space in my house. There is no attic. And there are only two rooms that have cupboards. And they're even not, they're cupboards for clothes and not for other stuff. So I'm always looking for room to put my stuff in. And so at one point, I've been working with Inge to sort out all the equipment that we didn't use anymore, cameras and lights and tripods and whatnot. And a lot of kind of older technology, some of which was quite costly when we bought it, and I didn't want to just throw it away. On the other hand, it would require me to put it all up on eBay, and that just is too much. It's too much energy. I just didn't have that energy, so I had this huge pile of both of stuff that had to be recycled and stuff that maybe I wanted to sell, and I just put it in the pantry. And so there were boxes stacked up, and there was even at one point the table that I put there to build Lego, just because I like to build Lego. I couldn't use it anymore because the table too was just stacked. There were stacks of boxes on it, and every time I went there, I was like, oh, I should do something about this room. But I don't have the energy right now. And then I would go basically work all through the weekend on improving text for my website. And it's just every time I fell into the same trap of focusing more on work, because that was a much more tangible thing that I could do rather than this overwhelming work that would be required for me to change that pantry in something that would work for me. So anyway, same thing for the garden. Every time I was in my garden, I was like, oh man, it's springtime now. I should start to work on this garden. Otherwise, in the summer, it's still going to be the same as last year. And it is really in need of some work, but I don't know where to begin. I don't have the equipment. I have not really gotten any... I don't have experience working in a garden. I don't know what I'm doing or what I should do. So, again, overwhelm, and then I choose to do this, the simplest thing I can do and still feel useful, because that's, of course, another thought that is in the back of this whole process, is I need to use my time. I cannot truly rest or relax because it has to be useful what I do. So that's a very old inner voice that, especially when I'm in times where I'm so busy with other stuff, that voice becomes stronger. And it's one of the contributing factors to burnout. It's like this voice that tells you, you should do more. And you have to do this. And why are you so lazy? Why aren't you doing anything? And in order to quiet that inner voice, the temptation is there to just do any work. But none of that work is actually necessary or urgent. And I could easily skip the weekend and do it on Monday, but it's an easy way to get out of that feeling like, I'm not doing enough. I do recognize what's going on, but I needed this last jolt, this last bit of encouragement to change my behavior. And so when I saw that video and I heard this voice saying, spend your weekends on creating the life you desire instead of trying to escape the life that you have, that all of a sudden was, this is my mission. I am going to do this. I'm going to listen to this voice because this is truly what I want. And I want to seize the opportunity. If I keep procrastinating on these dreams and I keep just focusing on the little, urgent stuff that distracts me from trying to work on these bigger goals, I will never learn how to garden. I will never clean the pantry. I will never have my Lego room. And so this weekend, I gave myself a weekend off. On Friday, I had my second day of filming for Dutch television, which was an extremely intense day. You may remember that I filmed my first interview for this show on Sunday, about a month ago, and it didn't go well at all, and I have been racking my brain trying to find out if there's anything I could do, could have done. Again, it's the could have, should have. If it was my fault, basically. I even went to an interview coach and talked with her about the entire interview. We watched all the footage and got a ton of advice, so I did absolutely learn from it. However, the thing was already in the can. We couldn't reshoot it, and it was out of my control as well. I'm not editing this, nor was the choice of the person that I interviewed in my power. It was just someone that I didn't know what her story was, except for the overall talking points. But what I couldn't predict was if there would be any chemistry, if that person would be at ease enough to really talk. And in my situation, it was very difficult to conduct this interview. So for my second day last Friday, I was very nervous. I knew that I had to interview a bishop this time. And even though I know this bishop quite well, and he's an easy talker, my interview coach had warned me and said, the next person that you're going to interview may actually require you to be even more active because you will need to rein that person in. if he has a tendency to just keep talking, you need to make sure that you hit all the talking points that the editors have prepared. So again, it was, I cannot just conduct a 2-hour interview, even though there was plenty of topics to talk about, but I have to be constantly aware of my responsibility as a host to make sure that this interview has a good structure and we're not going to lose track of time and also direction in this conversation. So anyway, interview went incredibly well. And I think that was a huge reassurance for me. I just felt like a gigantic weight fell from my shoulders after the interview was done. I was like, okay, so the first time, that wasn't my fault. It was, because now this interview today shows me that I can do this. I'm very good at this. It was just a coincidence that last time it didn't work that well. But now I feel much more confident about the rest of the year. So anyway, I was extremely tired when I got back home, but I had already promised myself, that's the last thing that you need to do, and the rest of the weekend, you are going to only work on creating the life that you desire. You're not going to use it to just escape in the sense of just playing video games all day long or no, you're just going to do whatever builds that other type of life. And I gave myself permission to focus basically on anything that I've been postponing, procrastinating on, because it didn't feel useful enough. And so here's what I did. First of all, this also, by a coincidence, was a weekend where I was not asked to assist in one of the parish churches. So last week I had to go to this church where the parishioners had just heard that the parish is going to abandon that particular church building. That was also a very intense Sunday, complex situation to manage, to navigate. But this weekend I was not on the schedule. And so at one point, I was like, I need to volunteer. Maybe I can help somewhere. Maybe I can replace one of the other pastors and maybe do the homily for them. And then I was like, oh, wait a second. This is actually an opportunity to really have an extremely quiet weekend. You don't have to be useful to be a priest. You just have to be a priest. So I gave myself permission to celebrate Mass on Sunday by myself. So that's what I did on Sunday morning. Very early in the morning, I just celebrated Mass as I was used to doing during the COVID, during the pandemic, when we didn't have Masses in church, and I was streaming Mass. So that's what I did. And then the rest of the day, and also on Saturday, I did go to my running group, because we were actually running around in these woods here, in this forest. Because that's another thing that I've often skipped lately is workouts. And there's always a good reason. It's dark, it's raining, I'm cold, I'm tired, I have too much work, I have a coaching appointment. And there were so many ways in which I was not taking good care of myself. And so this Saturday morning, I really am going to invest 2 hours of my time into running. And then I came back, I felt awesome. And then I started to work on a number of things. The first thing was that pantry. And I was thinking of one of the things I like to do when I'm building a Lego set is to stream it, because then I can chat with passersby. And it's always an occasion to just chat about anything. It's very different from when I stream a podcast, where I have to focus on the podcast and there's not much time for interaction. It's very different when I build a Lego set. I have hours to chat. But then I was thinking, how am I going to actually stream this when the entire pantry is so full of boxes, etc.? So what I did was I pictured how I wanted the pantry to look at the end of the day. And then I made sure that I worked consistently on improving this. I turned the table 90 degrees. So it's now perpendicular to the wall, which then creates for a much more interesting background. And now I have the shelves behind me when I'm on camera. But the problem was the shelves were also filled with food and pasta, and it was all in these ugly green boxes. So I had to devise a way to get rid of those boxes so I can replace them with Lego. And it will look so much nicer on camera. But the problem was, where do I leave all this food? And I went through every box and I started to sort all the, you know, the noodles and what do I actually have there? I had forgotten about a lot of those staples. And I found a new location. Wow, where am I? Oh, this is, wait a minute, I know where I am. This is the place where we start our training on Sunday. But they've been doing a lot of maintenance here. So the woods constantly are thinned out. There are lots of trees here. It's a natural forest, but then they remove trees and they've been riding around here with these big tractors. And so in the mud, you have these big tracks here. It's kind of hard to walk here. Anyway, it does smell nice because over there you've got on both sides of the road piles of tree trunks that are probably going to be picked up later when they've dried a little bit. You have this smell of wood, of freshly cut wood, and it is, I really like this smell. It's a bit of oily smell. I'm not sure how to define it. But you can really tell that they've been working here. Anyway, so I was able to replace all that food in different parts of my kitchen. And I also had a cupboard in my living room that I actually wasn't really using that well. So anyway, reorganized and was able to clear out that entire first shelf. And all of a sudden it looked so much nicer. And that I got everything out that didn't belong there. So all the stuff that I either need to recycle or put up on eBay is now temporarily in Inga's office. And I know that she's probably going to use it on Thursday. So now I have set myself a goal to get rid of that before Thursday. So it's little tricks to keep it front of mind. The next thing I did on Sunday was to work in the garden, because now the pantry was okay, and I wanted to clear out that path that I just mentioned that leads to the bike lane behind my house. And that was difficult because am I going to go straight on? Where am I? There should be a bike lane not far from here. I think it's... I'll just go down this muddy road and then turn left. Anyway, I need to start wrapping up. But so I worked in the garden. It was very difficult to remove the all these roots from other trees because this backyard has not been maintained for years, and I don't have equipment, but I knew that I wanted to clear a space. That's all. I don't need to remove everything, but at least to create a space so I can walk and take my bike out. And then we'll see in the next another weekend. I'll start watching some YouTube videos on how to create a natural looking path. And maybe I'll even teach myself how to create a wooden fence in the style of the Shire, you know? It ain't rocket science. I should be able to try that out. The thing is, normally with these processes, when I want to learn how to make something, even with Lego, it's like this. I give up very quickly because I don't reserve enough time for it. So I'm like, I only have 2 hours, so I'm not going to start this right now. This will take me 2 days. But if I keep focusing on using my weekends to create the life that I desire instead of trying to escape the life that I have, I'm going to get there. And it felt so good. I have to say, at the end of Sunday, it's also my perception of time changed. Normally, every day feels like there's never enough time. And because I live on the clock, I have a very, very strict... Like, for instance, right now it's Monday, and I'm creating this podcast between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m., right after my lunch. And I know that I have to keep this schedule, otherwise the podcast won't get made. And I have more podcasts to record today. I've also got the walk, the break, and I have a coaching session with Cliff at 6, because the U.S. is already on daylight savings time, whereas we are still... Let me see. Let me go to the left here. We're still on winter time. So I need to be efficient with my time. On this whole weekend, since I didn't have to be at a specific church or chapel on Sunday for Mass, I felt like I just completely... How do I say that? I let go of any time measurement. In fact, I even changed the watch face on my Apple iWatch, or what is it, Apple Watch, to the Snoopy face. So the newer versions of the Apple Watch have an animated watch face, and it's all these tiny, funny animations with Snoopy and a little bird. I'm not sure if it even has a name. And it's wonderful, but it's one of the watch faces I barely ever put on, because it doesn't have the timers, it doesn't have the complications, the buttons that I use to start a run or whatever. And it just tells you the time. And I put that Snoopy face on my watch for the entire Sunday, so that whenever I would check the time, there wouldn't be all sorts of other indications or notifications trying to distract me. But it was just like, okay, and now it's time to go make dinner or something like that. And just visually, it made such a difference. And at the end of the day, I had felt that I'd done much more than on any other previous Sunday. And everything that I did, it was work. Working in the garden was a lot of physical effort. But I was also so incredibly thankful that I had done that, because finally my backyard now looks slightly different. And when I walk into the pantry, I am so proud. It's like, look at this pantry. I remember what it looked a week ago. You wouldn't want to spend a minute in there. And now it's this wonderful Lego room, and it's going to be even nicer when I put the Lego boxes in the background, and I'm going to work on my Ghostbusters the fire police house, or whatever it is, the big building from New York. It's a big build, and I just couldn't start it because I didn't have room in the pantry, and now I have. So anyway, I felt so accomplished. And the funny thing is, this morning, Monday, I woke up relatively early. I sat down and I started to create the chapters for my new book, and it was all there. In fact, I think I was even much more focused on the book than I would have been had I tried to do this over the weekend. So this mental pause where I'm not working for 2 days straight has somehow rearranged my work-related thoughts and made it much easier to focus on what I wanted to accomplish. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. I will talk a little bit more about the book and about the various perspectives that I'm considering in the next part, the extra mile that I walk for my patrons, all my supporters over at patreon.com/FatherRoderick. And if you sign up for the second tier or higher, you will get that extended version of the walk in your podcast feed every week. Thank you so much for joining me today. Talk to you soon. Take care and see you next week. God bless.